We're joined by Ryan Clark on loan from the Oregonian to chat a little Oregon State football. Ryan, thank you for joining us. How are you today? Come again, my friend. I'm sorry. We just got you.
Yep. Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. And look, I was we'll start with the piece you one of the pieces that you've written more recently, and that's the NIL situation going on at Oregon State. Look, it's no like secret for any of these squads, you know, Oregon State using Washington State as a parallel for the local, that NIL is kind of everything right now. Talk to me about new GM, the impact of Blueprint Sports, Damn Nation, and what the future NIL is kind of building towards at Oregon State.
Yeah, obviously the Beavers brought on Kyle Bjornstad, who used to run Damn Nation. He'll be in-house now as the general manager for all sports. Obviously, the main focus for him will be, you know, football, men's basketball, women's basketball, and the like. But the changes are such that, you know, adding a group like Blueprint with the connections that it has, with the experience that it has working with, I think, like 70 athletic departments around the country, it allows for them to have a more robust NIL operation and not work with one arm tied behind their back, so to speak, to have somebody in-house, to have somebody contracted to run the collective on the outside, with the collective focusing more on corporate deals and you know, individual donations from regular folks, whereas Kyle and the folks in-house are going to be big on individual larger donors and people that they can try to solicit to back up the Brinks truck, so to speak, for Oregon State. And obviously they're trying to step it up because they need it. They need to be more competitive in the NIL marketplace if they want to continue to be competitive on the field in all sports.
Ryan, when you're looking at this Oregon State team, they do have – there's this contrast of like, oh, they're dead. You know, they can't do this. They can't do that. But they're still finding a way to bring in some impact players. Offensively, obviously, the big name is Malik Murphy. Defensively, they bring Rajon Davis up. They're still able to facilitate and manufacture deals that matter and kind of plug and play some guys with experience and still some potential upside. Like, when you look at this roster and you kind of look at where they're at, where do you kind of see this team in relation to where they are now and where they need to get to?
Yeah, I think that they are underrated on the whole. I think that Oregon State has invested at different positions. You talk about transfers like Rajon Davis and especially Malik Murphy, who they spent seven figures on reportedly to play quarterback. Like, that matters. And the retention matters for Oregon State and guys returning from injury and the development and the culture overall that OSU seems to be building under Trent Bray. This is a team that, given the favorability of its schedule, I think has the potential to win if everything falls their way this season, 9 or 10 games. And that would be a massive turnaround from last year, given the fact you lose six of your last seven games down the stretch. And finish 5-7 on the year and your program's in flux. But I think this is a year that, despite the chaos of college sports and despite how much the Beavers have been impacted by it specifically, that they could surprise some people and that they could, because of the favorability of their schedule, go on a nice run to end the season.
All right. Here's the big question, I think, for if you're a Beaver fan or if you're a Beaver adjacent, what the hell's going on with Darius Clemens?
Right now, we don't know. At this point, when we were at practice, we saw it happen. He injured his left leg. He went down non-contact and was in a lot of pain. He's been both on a scooter and on crutches with a boot on his left foot. At this point, we've been plumbing for answers from Trent Bray and obviously not gotten any. He's typically a guy that lets the players make their announcement. As we saw last night with Micaiah Tung, the linebacker medically retiring after four injuries in 5 years, which is obviously terrible luck for that guy, somebody that would have factored in at inside linebacker. But Darius, right now, we don't know whether it's something that's long-term or something that'll be a few weeks before he's back, but it's not looking like he will be available for the Beavers' first game versus Cal based on the crumbs of information that we've gotten so far.
Ryan Clark on loan from the Oregonian joins us to talk Oregon State football. I want to get into that coach's room real quick with Bray and especially kind of Gunderson in the offense. What kind of pressure is on that coaching staff this year? I don't want to say hot seat necessarily, but what kind of pressure is quarterback play last year was really brutal for the majority of the season. Obviously Murphy comes in. So talk to me a little bit about like what the heat index is in that coaching room.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely pressure to live up to the expectations of being a more balanced offense, of utilizing a guy like Murphy in such a way that, you know, he lives up to his potential. You got to remember, this is a former five-star guy, went to Texas, backed up Quinn Ewers, got his first opportunity at Duke to start and, you know, had a good season last year, but Duke did choose to move on from Murphy. And you got to wonder as far as, you know, whether he lives up to that hype this year and how that impacts the offense overall. But they're still going to be a run first team. Obviously, Anthony Hankerson, you know, carries the load for them. But Saladin Alaa has really come on and gained some weight this fall and is bigger, stronger, faster than he has been. It's an offense that has, you see the potential of them being more balanced. You see the receivers that they have in Trent Walker and an upstart guy this fall that we've seen in Eddie Freehoff, a redshirt freshman out of Prineville. Really interesting story there. The potential is certainly there. The question is, can Murphy catch on fast enough to get in a good enough rhythm early in the season for the Beavers to get going and not fall in a deep hole? Because those first four games are a real challenge.
Kind of a two-parter here for you. How big is bringing Kavanaugh back into the fold on the offensive line been for them, and considering they're returning all their starters, and even with that activity in the transfer portal bolstering their depth, most of their starting offensive unit across the board, with the exception of Murphy, it looks like it's going to be returners, and you've got guys in Caulfield, and you bring in Riley Williams, a tight end, where you're just kind of reinforcing kind of what you are. You're kind of that identity. How much does having some of the old guard in Kavanaugh kind of coming back in, being the offensive line guru, kind of feed into maybe trying to tap into that vein of the Oregon State history?
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that fits the mold of an Oregon State coach and an Oregon State offensive line coach specifically, not just because he was here with Mike Riley for all those years and developed some of the best offensive lines in the country, but just his presence, his aura. You know, he might not use that word as a much, much more old school guy, but he has it. And it matters for what I think is a talented and deep Oregon State offensive line room. The question at this point for them is health. They've got a few guys who are starting caliber that had been dinged up coming out of the spring. They're much healthier now than they were at the start of camp, but not everybody is back, and a test for that depth will be these first couple of weeks against Cal and Fresno State. You know, how do they protect Malik Murphy while he's still figuring out the offense? But what I've seen, regardless of who's on the field during fall camp, is this O-line is getting a great push on the run and continuing to you know, solidify that identity of Oregon State football. They're not going to just be a ground-and-pound team that if they can't run the ball, game's over this year, but certainly that's going to be central to their identity. And you mentioned Riley Williams at tight end. That's a guy who has the potential to, you know, make good on his potential and add to the tight ends room with a bit of a local flair and being a former Central Catholic guy. Huge, huge tight end, 6'5", 270, big, strong guy, great in the run game, and extremely deft feet for a dude his size. So excited to see what he does.
You mentioned it best. Those first four games are going to be kind of a rough stretch, but we should learn a lot about this team. Should ease up a little bit after that. Realistic expectations, Ryan? I mean, you know, due to the schedule, you could maybe squeak out 8-9 games, or are we looking at maybe another 5-7? Like, could this team start off 1-3?
I certainly think 1-3 is possible, and then after a 1-3, you could get to 9-3. That's how crazy the final stretches compared to the opening, right? You know, it's hard to beat a team twice. They'll have to play Washington State twice down the stretch, and the second one is in Pullman in late November, which is sure to just be lovely weather up there.
Guilty as charged. I am alumni. It is not fun up there at that
time.
Yeah,
I look forward to getting a rental car when I'm trying to get around up there. But regardless of my own personal perils, you know, the schedule overall, obviously, the start is brutal. You essentially have to win those first two games, right? Cal is a team that you feel like you're on the same level of as a program, same with Fresno State, if not a bit above them. You got to win those two games because at Texas Tech and at Oregon in back-to-back weeks, you know, a lot of folks have penciled that in pretty much as guaranteed L's for the Beavers. Nothing's guaranteed in college football, but those programs have just spent so much more money on their rosters, and especially Texas Tech. They've basically built this, you know, pick your poison out of the transfer portal $50 million roster, which is insane. I do think that is a potential upset win for the Beavers if they can put it all together really well in the first two games, only because you've got all these pieces coming together for Texas Tech that you don't know if they fit together quite yet. But the back stretch, their final seven games are all against teams below them in the FPI, ESPN's FPI, however reliable that might be. A couple of them are past the 100 mark too. You know, got Appalachian State, which is a long way to go for them on the road, but certainly not a program that you feel like you should, you know, compete closely with.
Lastly, future of the in-state rivalry, formerly known as the Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the things I keep hearing, and these are obviously unofficial statements and rumors on the street, is that there is a possibility of the game not being played next year and then being resumed in 2027. At this point, nothing is finalized. There is still the possibility, you know, of the Beavers and Ducks working out their schedules. But you see schedules opening up for both of the teams in the future, just not quite next year, which is already currently set for both of them. You got the Beavers transitioning into the reformed Pac-12. There's a lot of complication at play here, and it takes both of the schools to play ball to really get the rivalry game solidified into the future.
All right, that's Ryan Clark on loan from the Oregonian. Go check him out. Read his pieces. There's a bunch of great stuff up right now. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We'll check back in during the season, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, my friend. That is Ryan Clark from the Oregonian. He writes a lot of great stuff, you know, follows the Beavs over there at the Oregonian. So definitely check him out. Give him a follow. Yeah, easy, easy follow. And I know Dirt and Sprague have him on from time to time, too. So check him out when he's over there.